So you take your Bibles. Let's go ahead and open up to John chapter 4. You say, why did you have to hesitate where to open up? Well, again, you have the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and different ones state this next step of where Jesus is going. And so we have looked at our pathway. While you're opening up, let me get my computer set up here. We'll get to this map here in just a few moments. But as we look at Jesus now, Jesus has been in the south. He has been down in the southern region. Maybe we should go ahead and get there. Where are we at here? Somewhere in the middle of the ocean, huh? Not where we wanted. There, that's where we want, right? Can you recognize it from that position? Can you? Okay, some of you are kind of like, what are you talking about? All right, if you can picture this, this is where, and yes, I do have a pointer tonight. And so this area right here where that hand is, right here in the center, this, what is this body of water right here? All right, we have the Mediterranean or the Great Sea right here, right in the middle. I'm showing you this right now from a big picture because this is what continent? Africa. You thought that you were done with geography class. And so this is Africa. And so just in reference to that, in Europe and Asia, here we have this area that we are looking at. So let's get in a little bit closer. And here we have this land of Israel. Okay, now Jesus has been spending some time in the southern part in John chapter 4. We've been looking at in the southern, this region down in the south. What was the southern region? Probably about in here. This was all what region? What was that called? Okay, we have Judea. Some of you are thinking divided kingdom when you say Judah. Okay, very similar, that the southern part was Judah, and in the divided kingdom, the northern part was Israel. Okay, now in Jesus' time, the southern part is Judea, which we'll refer to in the scriptures, Judea. And then we have a central part, which was in this area. And what is that area called? Okay, this is the area of Samaria. And then in the northern part, we have this area up in here, which was considered the area of Galilee. Okay, can you see this thing, by the way, when I point it? Nod your head if you can see it. Okay. I'm glad you can see it better than I can. I got to look for a little while before I find it when I point it up there. Because I'm colorblind, so I have a hard time. So you can, now this helps you, but it's hard for me to do it. So anyway, this is the area. Now Jesus had spent his time down in the south. He had been he'd been down in Jerusalem for Passover, and we have seen a couple things. He met with Nicodemus, and we saw that him ministering the gospel there. And then he went, we saw him move into the area where Jesus was baptizing. And he was baptizing in this area of Bethabara beyond Jordan, probably down right in here where there was some baptizing going on. And then it says, we read that he was heading up towards the area of Galilee. On his way, it would have been normal for him actually to come on the Transjordan side. This is the Jordan River here, bridging the gap between the Sea of Galilee and the Salt Sea. It would have been normal for a Judean or a Galilean to travel around in this area. Why? Because in the middle right there, and of course you can see Sychar, in the middle of this area of Samaria, the Samaritans were considered half-breed people. They were considered dirty people. They were not just in their race, but in also their religion. They had mixed a lot of things. And so in the religious people's eyes, they were They were a dirty people. They were wrong. They were bad. We know that Jesus needed to pass through Samaria. Why did he need to pass through Samaria? Because there were people there that needed the Lord. There were people there that needed Jesus. And of course, we looked at the woman at the well there at Sychar, and we saw that situation. Now we get out of that. At the end of John chapter 4, we leave that, and now he's still heading up towards Galilee. So we're going to come back to this map here in just a few moments, so you guys can leave it here, and then we'll close it down in a little bit. But let's stay here for just a little bit. Let's see, we're just about ready to start his Galilean ministry. And his Jesus ministry is divided up into a couple different sections. And he's going to remain in Galilee for a little while, okay? So think in your mind, maybe take your notes. Okay, this is his Galilean ministry. And so Jesus is heading up to Galilee to start this first part of his ministry here. So he's heading up to this northern region. Again, Galilee is about the top of the map, right in here, coming down, probably about to this area, and then coming up into Capernaum and Bethsaida. So we have this area, which is called Galilee. And of course, Nazareth, where Jesus came from, or at least his parents came from, that's the area that we're going to be looking at here. So as we look, well, I'm in Ezra. I guess I could better get out of Ezra. Let's go to Matthew really quickly. I wanted to take you to the four Gospels and just see where we're at chronologically. We're going through this Jesus ministry in chronological order. Are all the Gospels the same in what they give? Okay, now you might look at that, was not a trick question. They have the same story. Okay, there's not discrepancies. A lot of people think, oh, there's discrepancies. Look at this. Well, they haven't put the whole picture together. Okay, when you put the picture together, you see, what do I always refer to? What are they different? There are different perspectives, okay? And Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John each had a different perspective of the same story. And one of them is going to be more technical. One is going to be more, he's going to have a certain agenda. And they all have a different perspective. So I want you to look really quickly at where we're at in our chronology, what's going on in each of the Gospels. Okay, so let's look at Matthew chapter 4 really quickly. Matthew chapter 4, and let's go to verse 17. This is where we're at right now, where we leave him. He's done with the woman at the well, and in Matthew chapter 4, and let's look, like I said, verse 17. And this passage is just after the woman at the well. Again, Jesus, we don't see that in Matthew, but we have been looking in John telling us that part of the story. So we pick up in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, just one verse here. You notice in verse 18, Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee. Okay, he already gets there. So Matthew is not telling that part of the story. John did. But here in Matthew, I just want you to see in verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay, so he meets Nicodemus in Jerusalem. He goes through Samaria, and he meets the woman at the well. And from this time forward, he's preaching the kingdom of heaven, which is at hand. Okay, does that make sense? And that's what we read in Matthew. Let's go to Mark, and let's see where Mark is at right during this time before he gets up to Galilee. Go to Mark chapter 1. Mark is not a gospel that gives us the first part of Jesus' birth. And so right away, we have the ministry in Mark. Mark is going to pick up right away with that. So go to Mark chapter 1. And as you notice in the very beginning, in verse 1 and verse 2 and verse 3, we pick right up with John and then Jesus on down the line. Let's look at verses 14 and 15. We have the Spirit descending upon Jesus at his baptism. And then we have in verse 13, this is very quick. Mark is to the point here. And he gives us a few verses on these things, his baptism. And then in verse 12, he was led into the Spirit. And in verse 13, we have the temptations there in the wilderness. And now verse 14, again, Mark's perspective just is a little bit different. Now verse 14, we read, now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Okay? And so, just a little side note that Mark adds, right during this time is when John is captured and put into prison. Okay? And soon to be beheaded. Okay, but just keep that in mind. Now let's go to Luke. And let's look at a couple verses here, seeing what each passage says about it. I don't want to pass up. John is the only one that spoke of Nicodemus and the woman at the well. That's why we didn't go back and forth. And so when I have some parallel passages, we're going to go to them. And I want you to see what each one says, just a little bit different words. So we go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, and let's also look in verses 14 and 15. Luke chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Also, just after the record of Luke of the temptation in the wilderness. And then we get to verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Okay, so you see Luke's perspective there in just a few verses, and just his return to Galilee. And then now, let's go back to our home in John chapter 4. John is not always where we're going to be staying. In fact, John does not mention a lot of things. In some of the other passages we'll be in, the other Gospels a whole lot more. But in this time, right before the Galilean ministry, John is, he's on the top. He's got more up to this point so far. So, go back to John chapter 4. And John chapter 4 was the woman at the well. And we have spent some time, Jesus spent some time with a woman at the well. We've seen a number of different things there. But let's go to verse 43. And so, and by the way, the woman at the well was a blessing to get the gospel out, because she was able to go and what she heard, and she spread it to a lot of other people. All right, let's look at verse 43. And let's look at 43, 44, and 45, just as that introductory time. And then we're going to start in verse 46 and look at another pathway that Jesus gives to us. So John chapter 4, and let's look at verse 43. Now, after 2 days, right after the woman of the well, after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee. So there she's going up to Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. For they also went unto the feast. Now, let's back up. So where had they been? Down in Jerusalem at the Passover. Okay, and they had seen Jesus doing some things. And notice what he said. It says, you know, as he went up there, it's the Galileans, what was their first response? They received him, didn't they? And why did they receive him? Having seen all things he did at Jerusalem at the feast. Okay? He had seen some things that Jesus had done. There was already some wondering in their mind who this man was. Isn't it amazing how many people are so attracted to Jesus' miracles and Jesus' things that he did and the way he was presenting himself? And we don't exactly know what it was that they saw, but they were attracted to him and they saw some different things, and because they had been to the feast. Verse 46, so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. Let's go ahead and read to the end of the chapter, and then we'll look at our map for just a moment, and then we'll look at a pathway. So let's continue on. Okay, so let's back up. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see the signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. All right, here we have this healing of the nobleman's son. Now, when we pick up, we see that he was coming to Galilee, into this region. Remember, Galilee is not a city, it is a region. And what city did he go to? Look at verse 46. Where did he go? So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee. He was at Cana. And what do we know about Cana? Okay, it says in the verse, okay? There at Cana, where he had made the water into wine. Okay, so Jesus traveled here to Cana. This is right in the heart of Galilee. Now, there met him this nobleman and his son that was sick. And where was he from? Okay, Capernaum. Look, you can look at the map here. We have Cana of Galilee right here, and then we have Capernaum. And I believe that's about an 18-mile journey. Okay. Now, did you notice that it says in verse 47 he said, "Come down." Now, we typically think of coming down, and I've mentioned this before. In fact, I think last time we went from Cana, because Jesus went from Cana over here to Bethsaida. We talked about this. What did he mean when the nobleman said, "Come down," and here he's actually going northeast? What did he mean, "come down"? Elevation is what we're talking about. Okay? Elevation. You see, Cana, right up here, is at the foot of these mountains. And as you make your way, here's somewhat of a valley that you go through. But then when you get here, once you cross this mountain range, I'm not showing it right here, but once you cross this, right where my pointer is, that's probably the pinnacle of this mountain range right here that's on the western side of the Sea of Galilee. Once you make your way here, it goes down into a plain. Okay? So Cana is much higher than Capernaum. Does that make sense? And that's why this nobleman is saying, "Come down." It makes sense. If you would go up into the mountains and you wanted somebody to come to you, you would say, "Come down." You wouldn't be talking about north, south, east, and west. You would say, "Come down to us." That's the reason why he said, "Come down." And then later, when the nobleman made his way towards Capernaum, he said, and as he was going down, okay, his servants met him, okay? So just so you know what it means to go down. So they had made this 18-mile journey because this man obviously believed what Jesus had done in the past, that Jesus had something about him that he could believe in. And wouldn't you also go to somebody that had, I mean, he had seen some Jesus doing some great things, and this is still the beginning. He had not done a lot of miracles yet. Okay, but he had seen some things from Jesus, and he said, "You know what, I wonder if this man can take care." And I think it was more than a wonder, because the passage said that he believed. Okay, well, we'll look at that here in just a moment. So, he had come down. Now, as we look at this story, I'm just going to tell you right out, the pathway that we see Jesus here is a pathway of dependability. Look at the story. I would submit to you that there's more to the story about dependability. In fact, go ahead and speak up. What do you think the main point of this small narrative is? Think about it. We have Jesus was all-powerful. People started to recognize it. This nobleman recognized it. And he saw it's worth taking this 18-mile trip to go down to Jesus, and I hope that he'll heal him, and I can come back and my son will be alive. And so he makes the trip and he comes down and he sees Jesus, and he obviously had belief that he would, because he said, "I need you to come down. If you don't come down, what would happen?" "The child's going to die," he says. And what did Jesus say to him? While he was talking, what did he say? He said, "Go thy way, go back to Capernaum." Why? "Because your son liveth." And we wouldn't, without the rest, we wouldn't know that time, what time it was. But what time do we know that was now? We know it was about the seventh hour, right? Because that's what he said. He took note later. Look down at verse 52. He asked. he asked about this, and they said about the seventh hour, and the nobleman remembers back to what? Well, that was the time that I talked with Jesus, and Jesus said, go home because your son is living. Kind of interesting. So in the seventh hour, this takes place. Jesus meets him and says, thy son liveth. And we see that the man believed the word and he left. He didn't continue. How do I know, Jesus? How do I know? No, he believed and he left. He was heading home to see what Jesus had done. And he goes down, he meets the servants. They tell him that he was. He checks his clock and he sees, yep, that was the time. And sure enough, his son was alive. And then in verse 54 it says, okay, this was the second miracle that he had done since Judea to Galilee. Okay, what would you say this main passage is about? We have a person coming, asking him to do something. He believes and God does it. Jesus does it. What would you say? Okay, well, I think that one of the words you said, Alyssa, was correct. You know, belief. You know, there's an issue of belief. Would you agree? Belief? I think this one thing, you know, no matter who this man was, he was a believer. He believed. He had faith in what Jesus could do. No matter who he was, he believed. What else with faith and belief? I kind of gave you the answer. Faith. Okay, belief, faith. Faith and trust, and then secondly, establishing who Jesus was, okay? Now, it doesn't, there's no verses here that say, okay, this is proving that Jesus is God, but when we see Jesus doing miracles, what was Jesus doing? He was beginning to demonstrate his deity, okay? He was beginning to demonstrate that. There was a lot of other things. He was establishing his ministry. He was doing a number of things through these miracles, but he's doing these things for these people so they can start to recognize who he is. Now that's the main point of the passage. But I want you to see something as I'm trying to dig into these passages, some things that we can learn, okay? So we can learn that Jesus is God and he does miracles. Well, that's not something, what do I do with that? We are looking at what pathways is Jesus going here. What does he do that I can do? And I have here the pathway of dependability. Again, so we know the main point. We ought to, you know, have faith and trust in Jesus. Jesus doing his miracles. He had the ability. Why? He was God. We need to exercise our faith in him to do the impossible. Absolutely. But I want you to take note in verses 52 and 53 of what the noble man recognized. And we already alluded to it. He knew that it was Jesus. He knew that it was Jesus that healed. Why? Because it was the same time that Jesus had said that he had healed, and he was healed. You see, he believed that Jesus had said it, that as Jesus said it, it would be done. He believed that. And he believed, it said before he checked his watch, if he had a watch or whatever he used, before he checked it, he believed when Jesus had said it. And it was almost confirming when he got there and he found out and he said, what time was it? Seventh hour. Yep. I knew it. You see what Jesus demonstrated to us? Jesus could be depended upon. Jesus can be depended upon. And what he said, and he, you know, this man believed, he took his word, but I'll tell you what, when he went and he found out from these servants that it was a seventh hour, do you think it increased his faith? Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I believed, and yet now I have more belief. In fact, the scriptures say that he believed before, and then what does it say right after he found out it was the seventh hour? And he believed. You say, didn't he already believe? He did. But you see, his belief was strengthened, was encouraged. It was deepened. And you know how it came by? Dependability. Jesus could be depended upon. Jesus will say something, and let me ask you, can we depend upon it? Now that man did not, you know, he had faith. I believe when he said, you know, Jesus said, go thy way, thy son liveth, and the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. I believe, because of the second belief that's given there, I'm guessing that that man believed, but it was kind of the belief that I have sometimes. He believed, and it was enough to get him to take that step and start walking. But I tell you, when he got there, and it was enough, he said, you know what, this man, I can depend upon him. And he went, and he finds these servants, and they tell him it was the seventh hour, and the light just came on, and it increased his faith. And he said, you know what, I knew that. Jesus said it, and it happened. It happened. You say, what's the pathway that we need to learn here? Jesus demonstrates dependability. Folks, do you know, like Jesus, when we say a word, it ought to be fulfilled. We ought to be people that are dependable. Now, we're not Christ. Now, I'm not saying we can say certain things and then someone's going to find out that it happened. We're not prophets and we don't have the power that Jesus had. And I'm not even talking about that. But do you notice? Jesus said a word and he believed it. He had faith at what Jesus said. This man did not understand yet that Jesus was the Son of God. He did not. He did not understand the deity. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry here. These thoughts were foreign to him. But here was a man that had proved himself a little bit, and he said something, and he counted it as would be done. He believed it. He could depend upon Jesus. Now, we know that we can depend upon Jesus, right? Folks, don't you think we ought to follow in Jesus' pathway? Don't you think we ought to be people that can be depended upon? We ought to. Folks, when we give our word to somebody, we ought to do everything we can to fulfill it. You know, and that's got us in trouble sometimes. Melissa and I have told the kids we're going to do this. And, you know, when the kids are really small, they don't understand that circumstances can come up in your life and you can't always fulfill some of the things you said. But I want to tell you something. Early on as parents, we made a lot of, if I could say, promises or things that we told our kids would do, and we weren't able to fulfill them. But you know what? The opposite happens. What happens when we do not fulfill what we say? It weakens our faith. Did you catch that? It weakens our faith. So what ought we to be to our children or to other people? When we say something, we ought to mean it. We ought to be dependable. I'll give you an illustration about that. Yesterday, I was out mowing the grass and trying to get that mowed, and then something came up, and I took a little bit of time and went away, and then came back, and I had told Malachi that day, yep, there he is, there's my buddy, my tractor buddy. Boy, he loved Tractor Day at Green Tree. You know, we left church today. And boy, he was, and we told him, you know, because I told him that it was, that there might be tractors out today. You guys understand that Green Tree, what's the church? I don't even know. I just know it's Green Tree. Church of the Brethren. Okay. Just right down the road on Cloverleaf up there. They have Tractor Day today. Somebody told us it was Tractor Day, you know. And so as we got out of church, you know, I said, boy, it was late today. You know, we had communion, and I was late. We were later, and I said, I don't know that we're going to see any tractors today. Boy, was I wrong. We drove over the hill. There was tractors everywhere. You know, tractors, tractors, tractors. And it was an amazing thing. Tractors, he really likes tractors, okay? So that was a wonderful thing. That was a side note. No way I told you that. Anyways, yesterday I was mowing. That's why. I think he asked me 100 times if he could have a ride in a tractor. Can I have a ride? And I said, when I'm done, I'm going to give you a ride. Well, then things came up, and I was taken away from that. I didn't know if I was going to finish, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's in the evening time, and what did I remember? Now, what's my 4-year-old son counting on? Daddy, what did you say? You said that you're going to give me a ride on the tractor. Now, did I have good reason? Maybe it's getting later and we have things to do. We have baths to take. We got to get ready for Sunday and we've got this and that. Did I have maybe a good human reason why I wouldn't do that? I could. But you know what? My son's faith is going to be weakened if I don't. It'll be strengthened if I do. See, we ought to be dependable. Malachi did get his tractor ride because I told him I would. And Nehemiah got one too. But can I say this? We need to be dependable. And I'm guilty. There are so many times when I say things and I don't fulfill it. You ever tell somebody that you'd pray for them? You ever forgot? You ever didn't do it? You know, a lot of times we give people our word. You say, well, I didn't say I promise. Take your Bibles really quickly and turn to Matthew chapter 5. The question to you is, can people depend on what you say to be done? Well, Pastor, you said that you would do this. Am I doing it? Sir, you said that you would do that, and I'm depending that you mean it. Well, he said it. Or are you known as a person that says a lot, but is just all talk? Have you ever met a person that talks a lot? And you know when they tell you things that it's probably not going to happen? I've met people before who said, yeah, you come, give me a call, and we'll go do this, and we'll do that. I have this, and I got connections here, and well, you just do this, and you know, or hey, I'm going to call you next week. We're going to do this. It happens all the time, and you never hear from them. And what does that do for you about that person in your mind? Do you trust them more? No. In fact, your faith in them is very much weakened. Weaker, weaker, and weaker. And sometimes, you know, and after a while, when that person tells you something, you know that all you're thinking in your mind, right? You cannot trust them. Folks, we need to be people. Are you a person that can be trusted? Now, this is the pathway that Jesus brings us down. He said something, and did he follow through? Absolutely. He had it done, just as he said, just at the time. He didn't waste any time. It was done. Folks, we need to do that. I brought you to Matthew chapter 5, and look at what he says in verses 33 to 37. You know, you say, I didn't give my word, and I didn't promise, I didn't put my hand in the Bible, I didn't. No. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. 34, but I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. 35, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But, verse 37, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. You know what he's really saying there? You look at that and say, what is that passage talking about? You don't need to put your hand on a Bible. You don't need to do this. You don't need to say over this or over that. You don't need to say, I promise. You know, it's interesting. The children say, yeah, I said that, but I didn't say, I promise. Folks, what this passage very simply is saying, what we say is a promise. If you told somebody that you were going to be there, you better be there. And if you can't be there, then you better make a phone call telling them that you can't be there. You know, we live in a generation that is growing up that people make commitments and they say they're going to do something and they will not show up and they won't even call you and tell you. You know what? Do things come up in our schedules? Are there times when we say that we're going to do something and something happens and we can't make it? Yeah, there are times when it comes up, but we better do everything we can. If we told a person we're going to do it, we better do our best to try to make it happen. And if we can't, we at least got to cover our base and say, listen, I've tried and it's been prevented. I can't make it there. At least you're covering your bases. Folks, we need to be people that are dependent upon. And the result of that is either increased or decreased faith. This man, and as soon as he found out that it was the seventh hour, it increased his faith. I'll tell you what, every time we say something and we show up, I believe that it increases that again, character. Not that we're trying to get people to believe in us, but it increases their faith that, you know what, I can count on this person. This is going to happen. And you know what, we're pictures of Christ. We're also showing other people who our Lord is. And especially as we deal with Christians and believers, but even the unsaved world, when we tell people we ought to do our very best to do it and follow through with it, let's not be people that say one thing and have no intentions on fulfilling what we have said. And so there we see the first, the pathway of dependability. I want you to look, we're just about out of time, but look at Luke chapter 4 now. And now we're gonna continue on in the story, but it's going to be picked up in Luke. Luke is going to give us the very next portion that we need to look at. As you turn there, I'm just looking at my notes to see if I really want to start this next section. I'm going to introduce the area, the geography, and then we're going to stop because I don't want to rush things tonight. I want you to get this next pathway because it's very important, very important. So I want to encourage you. It's going to be 2 weeks. Come back for that. But let's just look at the region really quickly. We're in Luke chapter 4. And let's go to verse 16. Okay. So we were there. Jesus is on his way to Galilee. He goes to Cana. And here we have the situation with this nobleman. And from there, we read in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, that he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Okay, let's look at our map here just for a moment. And you see where Cana is. That's where we were, Capernaum, where the nobleman had come from, 18 miles. And so Cana to Nazareth is obviously a lot less of a trip. We're probably talking even less than half of that, so we're probably talking about 7 or so miles. And so Jesus makes his way to Nazareth. And what was Nazareth? This was his hometown. You remember, Jesus spent a lot of years here in Nazareth. Spent a lot of time growing up here as a carpenter's son. And people recognized him. Now, I want you to think this. Just get this in your mind of where we're even going to go with this. I'm not even going to tell you the pathway that we're going to look at. Okay, Jesus goes back to his home. Were people familiar with Jesus? Very familiar. In fact, very familiar. And some would even say, too familiar. Too familiar. But these people really knew him. What we're going to look at is, did they give Jesus an opportunity to minister? Did they? What would they do with him? Of course, we know that he was rejected in his hometown. So we're going to look at some interesting things here. Here we see Nazareth, Cana, Capernaum in this area of Galilee. As we close tonight, again, our time is up, and I just really hesitate going on into the next section, but I think that that is absolutely fine. What about your word? What about your word that you give to people? When you tell people, would you be considered, would you be considered a person that keeps his word? You know, now I'm not asking you to compare yourself with Christ and who he was. You know, he could do a miracle. You can't do a miracle. You can't say, that's happening right now at home. Go and check it out. But what we can do is we can say, hey, this is what I'm going to do. And when a person turns around, they say, you know what? I believe that they will be there. I will believe that they will do this. I believe that they will see this happen. I'm going to be the first one to admit I'm convicted about this. I'm convicted about it. You know what? I need to be, but you need to be. We all need to be people that when we say something, it's as good as what we say. And people can count on it so that we can help people, turn people to Christ and do that. I don't know if the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight, but a wonderful pathway that we all need to be. Let's be dependable people that people can count on, that God can count on, that we will be there. Father, I thank you for the lesson that you taught us tonight, a very quick lesson, a little lesson, but yet a good lesson. Lord, we all need to work on this area. Lord, as we tell our children, as we tell our wives, our husbands, you know, we can be very quick. Sometimes as husbands, we can say, yes, I'll do this, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to take care of this week, and then at the end of the week, it's not done. And oh, of course, Lord, we're humans, and we have lots going on, and Lord, help us. Maybe in the first place, we need to be very careful in what we say. Being very careful to open up our mouths and say things that we don't even know if we can fulfill. Maybe we need to be careful, Lord, with what we're saying. Lord, maybe we need to, once we say it, though, help us to be very careful to make sure and plan ahead so that we can make sure and follow through with that. And if we said that we're going to do that, that we do everything we can to make sure that it happens. God, would you help us to be people that are dependable? And Lord, the gospel is at stake. Our reputations are at stake. Your testimony is at stake. Faith is at stake. Belief is at stake. Lord, I pray that we would be people that would demonstrate who you were and who Jesus was. The people could depend 100% on Jesus. Lord, would you help people be able to depend on us in the same way? Thank you for the pathway that we see tonight. Lord, help us to follow in that pathway. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.